Okay, here we go. Let's get right to it. It's our end of the week wrap-up program with Dr. Henry Nyman. It's not a look back because there's so much going on every day. There's no time to look back. It's just a nonstop deluge of new information, news, and events of unusual circumstance and more. Big story today, Pence's press secretary infected. Married lady? Katie Miller. Who is Katie Miller married to? If you were listening last hour, you know. She just happens to be married to Trump's top senior policy advisor, Stephen Miller. Can you spell nepotism? There we go again. So three White House staffers have now tested positive, including Trump's valet and two Pence employees, okay? Lots to do there. There's just a lot going on here. We look at Neil Ferguson's Imperial College in London or England, his projections on the number of casualties in both the U.S. and England, and apparently Trump was swayed by a lot of those early projections, and they don't appear to be holding up so far. There's a lot of conjecture about that, a lot of controversy now in that field as well. There are many things to talk about with Dr. Henry Nyman, so let's get right to it tonight, Henry. Welcome back. It's been another knockdown, drag-out week, for sure.
Yes, Jeff, it certainly has. And as you mentioned, there's these breaking news on the COVID comes to Washington, or White House, the White House, and more exact. And another story just broke. I'm not sure who you were referring to with the second Pence employee. Who was that? That one.
Let me go back to the story. Hold on. Two Pence employees. This is out of Newsweek. Two Pence employees, his press secretary. I'll have to find the other one here. Let's see. Katie Miller. Earlier this week, Trump's personal valet. And let's see where we've got the other one here for Pence. I may have to find it here. I'm not seeing it. It's in Newsweek here somewhere. I'll find it. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I've actually got another one. I'm just wondering if I'm duplicating your efforts. But word has it, according to CNN, that Ivanka's personal assistant has tested positive.
No, haven't seen that. That's new. Brand new.
Okay. So that just broke. It's not quite as close as it sounds because apparently she's been telecommuting for the last couple of weeks and has not had contact with Ivanka. But it's not exactly clear where the virus is. There's some story that says that several Secret Service agents are quarantined and several have tested positive. And how many of them are related to either Trump or Pence isn't clear. But
here's the answer. Newsweek isn't giving us a name. It says the first member of the White House staff who tested positive for COVID-19, another member of Pence's staff, was diagnosed shortly after the states began implementing stay-at-home orders in March. That's all we have. So, certainly not Ivanka's assistant.
Okay. So, in any event, even excluding Ivanka's assistant, Katie Miller is certainly an interesting development. Because as you mentioned, she's Stephen Miller's wife, and she obviously has a connection with him. She also does attend the White House briefings, or when they were being held. And there's pictures, video of her at the briefing. And Trump usually brings a whole entourage wherever he goes. And
with, I saw that video too.
Pence and him there, then it's not a surprise that she would be there also. But what's most interesting, though, is what this does to Trump's rollout plan, because it's essentially showing that even in the White House, where people are being tested weekly or daily, there's still at least two people who are in close contact with Trump or Pence. And they have both tested positive this week. And some of the comments are of note. You know, I'm not sure how well Trump really understands these tests. He was quoted today as saying that the tests are perfect. You know, his use of the word perfect generally is a
really?
Kiss of death or whatever.
Yesterday he said they were overrated.
Yeah, well, he said the test was perfect, but something happened between the time that she was negative yesterday and positive today. And
it's a profound statement.
And that, you know, it shows some of the limitations of the testing. Uh-huh. And, you know, he's not a big fan of testing in general, especially if it's somebody other than him or contacts of him. But, you know, generally when you get two positives in people at the same place at the same time, that frequently indicates there's a connection. And so the possibility that there's yet another party that's actually led to these two infections is certainly a possibility. And the test that they're using also has some issues. It is far from perfect. It is attempts are being made to improve it, because it has about a 15% false negative rate. So they're using a test, and they're relying upon this test, and they like the test because you get the results in 15 minutes. But generally, when you get something that can give you a quick result, there's frequently a trade-off between the speed of getting the results and the sensitivity of the assay. And therefore, it may require a certain level of virus, a little bit higher than a more conventional test that might take 4 hours or might go overnight to get a result. It depends on, you know, how much time the probe has with the sample to get the sample amplified enough to give a strong enough signal to be picked up as a positive in the test. And so something that's going to operate for 15 minutes, or I think it's 13 minutes, is probably got a little bit lower sensitivity than one that incubates for 4 hours or is an overnight assay. And and since they're relying upon that for, you know, apparently for some of the staff, they were only being tested once a week. And so a week's time is, you know, plenty of time for somebody to A, get infected, B, get enough virus to pass the infection along, and C, develop symptoms, and have that person exposed to contacts for several days before they get to the symptom area level, and you can pass the virus before you develop symptoms, and you can even pass the virus when you don't develop symptoms. And I've read two reports on Katie Miller. One was that she was asymptomatic today, and the other was that she developed symptoms today. And the latter would go towards providing evidence that suggests that the the test isn't that sensitive because it didn't pick up a positive yesterday, even though she was pre-symptomatic and has symptoms already today. And so the reliance upon this test to basically be perfect is it isn't perfect, and therefore even the daily testing may not be sufficient. And and this kind of points up, you know, the fact that neither Trump nor any of his associates are generally wearing masks. They're assuming that these daily tests are protecting his innermost circle, and the weekly tests are protecting for the contacts. And that's just not the way it works. And nobody would claim that a weekly test is a way to ensure that you don't have to worry about your contacts and the fact that they're in close contact, and not wearing a mask is not a worry. And so they kind of show off to the general public, which is probably why he was at the lava level yesterday with the positive, because it's basically showing that even with all of this testing, you can still end up at the workplace, have a coworker who's infected, and be in close contact with you before symptoms are evident, and potentially pass along the virus. And a day or two later, you're not going to know whether you got infected, even if you're tested and even if you are negative, because A, there's false negatives, and B, there's an incubation period. So if you get infected, it'll generally take several days before you'll be making enough virus.
Am I correct?
Be picked up on the test.
Henry, that the sense that you could get if you weren't paying attention is that Trump is treating these tests as if they're some kind of a defense mechanism.
Correct.
It's weird. Is that right? It seems like it.
No, that's absolutely right. And they're basically testing on a daily basis. He and Pence are in the ballpark of daily. I don't know if it's every day, but you know, it's repeated testing. It's not weekly. It's a fairly high rate of testing, and that's what Pence said was why he didn't, you know, need to wear a mask when he was at the Mayo Clinic and seeing patients.
Yeah, and I get tested every day. That was the most asinine statement I've heard from him.
And everybody else was wearing a mask, and then he finally conceded that, yeah, you know, he really should have worn a mask. But the point is, I mean, Trump, you know, has this habit of bringing a whole entourage with him whenever he goes to do any of these press conferences. You know, all of his people march in, and they all sit in the front row, and they kind of pack the gallery, so to speak. And the only ones wearing a mask is like the cameraman. So nobody's wearing any mask. They're all
Image.
They used to all stand up at the podium, you know, shoulder to shoulder. You know, now they've spread out a little bit more. But these stories about Secret Service agents also testing positive or being in quarantine because they're contacts of those that were positive, you know, raises another red flag. So that he's trying to present this image that the virus really isn't a problem, that you can open up the state, you can go back to work, you can take some precautions, but it's really not a problem. And the reality is that it's a significant problem. And it's a significant problem in some of these places in the Midwest, that the food supply is under siege and there are shortages. And these plants have people standing shoulder to shoulder all day long. And there's issues with the testing at these processing plants. Either A, they're only testing symptomatic and they're not really doing a general test, or they're doing the test and they won't give out the results. And there were several stories about that in Iowa and neighboring Nebraska and plants that are right on the border. And the numbers are going up for both of those states fairly dramatically. But it seems that some of that data is still not being shared. And the numbers may be even more dramatic than are actually being disclosed right now. And that's why, you know, his plan really has the cart before the horse here kind of thing, where he's trying to revive the economy and ignore the pandemic. And people aren't going to want to go back to work if they don't have any assurances that their coworkers don't have the virus. And that's part of the reason there's, you know, pushes for more testing and having more kits so that employers can assure the employees that, you know, the office space, our workspace has been cleared. You know, the other fellow employees have been tested and they're negative. And they don't have to worry that if they go back to work. And it's the same thing with the stores that, you know, you want people to go into some of these stores that have been closed and go in there and assume that it's fine to do that. And without any assurance that the virus is under control, even if it's open, it's basically not going to be profitable. You're going to have more employees to pay and more maintenance of the facility to pay because it's more active.
New procedures, new safety precautions.
And if there aren't any customers coming in,
no.
Or there's just a few coming in, so you have to stay open because you do have some people coming in, but you can't make money because it's only 10 or 20% of what normally.
And some of the states, I believe some of the states, I think in the UK as well, they're allowing restaurants to only seat between 25 and 50% of capacity. They want that spacing.
Correct.
So they cannot, make money on that.
I don't think it's some of them. I think it's virtually all of them. Those are at least the initial rules, is that they're going to have a limit on capacity. And, you know, a lot of the owners are saying, you know, they can't make money at 25% of capacity or even 50% of capacity. They basically, you know, need to have it close to 100% for X amount of time. And the rules don't allow that, you know, to keep, you know, the density down where they're seated, and they certainly don't want people, you know, waiting for tables either. So that's what the problem is that you can't skip over and get the virus under control. And the virus isn't under control. I mean, the latest numbers look like the deaths may be a little bit lower. They're a little bit below 2,000 each day. But the number of new cases are not lower. If anything, they're higher. They're 25,000 a day, and several days they've gotten above 25,000 in the last couple days. They've been getting 26,000, 27,000. And they did that today, and they did that yesterday, and they were 25,000 the day before. So these new cases, and unless a high percentage of them are due to, you know, increased testing, they're gonna lead to additional deaths further down the road. And then the showcase for Trump is, his inner circle, and the fact that two people have now been confirmed, and they're both too recent to know whether they've infected anybody else. And, right. You know, yeah. I don't know if you saw the details on today's, they delayed, Pence's plane and took about six contacts off the plane because they had been in contact with, Katie Miller. And so they came off the plane to be tested, and they weren't caught testaments, put them back on the plane. They were taken off the plane to be tested and to go home. And, you know, essentially they're really supposed to be quarantined for like 14 days.
Nobody uses Q word anymore. Out of the White House.
Because they're actively testing, you know, they use mm-hmm. that as the excuse that they've been tested and they're negative, and therefore quarantine's not an issue. And you saw what happened on the Diamond Princess. The fact
we
that
certainly
people
did.
tested negative didn't mean that they were negative. They just meant that they had been infected recently, and that's why when the passengers were repatriated and came back and were tested. Mm-hmm. Then they mm-hmm. subsequently tested
a lot
positive
of them
because
were positive.
They had already.
Katie may have done. She may have done quite a job spreading this around. We don't know. Here's another thing that bothers me about Trump. Well, it's an endless list. This is CNN. At the same time, it had, referring to the former paragraph, at the same time, it had no apparent effect on Trump's willingness to proceed as normal on Friday, today, when he eschewed a mask again. He wouldn't wear one. While visiting with non-agenarian World War II veterans, 90-year-old World War II veterans, and invited a large group of lawmakers to the White House for a meeting. All of whom were tested before arriving. Like, that's some kind of a guarantee. This is stupid. But he meets with these 90-year-old World War II veterans. Is he really that insane that he would expose them to potential? His valet 2 days ago just came up infected. And here he is meeting with 90-year-old World War II veterans. This bothers me.
And he said, well, he wasn't that close, and it was windy. those two don't go together. You know,
oh, that's a good
well,
one.
If he's a little further away, but they're downwind, you know, that's not the best place to be, even if you aren't, you know, very close, especially if it's windy. And that's essentially, you know, it's all for his picture, but you know, the captions under the picture don't really read that well. Well, unmasked Trump meets with octogenarians or nanogenarians, whatever, and in their last visit to on VE Day, their chance they'll be around next year is very low. But you know, he does do these things. He tries to pretend that it isn't there, or he tells people it isn't there, and he tells them that there isn't a problem. And, you know, these governors do the same thing. I mean, the governor of Nebraska, you know, was questioned because one of the processing plants on the border with Iowa, they ran a test, and they apparently had hundreds of positives. And the company elected to not reveal how many positives there were or what the results of the testing was.
Uh-huh.
And the governor said, well, that's fine. I mean, it was their test. You know, they don't have to reveal what the results were. And it's literally hundreds of positives in that plant, which are, you know, leading to, you know, large dumps in that particular Dakota County was the county. And so Nebraska's numbers are going up very quickly. They've kind of doubled in just over a week. and Iowa numbers are going. I mean, it's not a low number. They went from like 4,000 to almost 8,000, or Iowa's now above 10,000. They're I think they're getting close to 12,000, and they were something like 7,000 about a week ago or so, and they were down around 5,000 about 10 days ago. So these locations are doubling in a week, and they're going up in the neighborhood of 10% each day. And they really don't have restrictions. They started low a week or two ago, and now they're not really that low anymore. And they keep coming up with 400 or 500 new cases every day. And they probably have more than is being reported, because it's not clear how forthcoming they're being with the testing at the plants. And some of the plants, which I've mentioned previously, they test the managers and they find out that they're at 40 or 50%, and then they say, well, we're not going to test the workers, because they know that they're going to be at 40 to 50%. And these plants have literally thousands of workers. You know, they've got 3, 4, 5,000 people working at the plant. So sure. They've got between 1 and 3,000 people that are positive at that plant. And they say, well, that's just the people at the plant. It went, I think another governor said, well, we don't really, all no, it was Azar. He said, well, we don't really think they're getting infected at the plant. We think there's something's going on in their home environment.
Oh, of course.
It's true. And then all of a sudden, they all appear at the same plant as being positive, which is just a coincidence that they all work at the same plant, but they all got infected at home. So, I mean, they make these statements that are just absurd.
It's shameful.
And I don't know if they think others actually believe them, or if they just don't know what to say, so they come up with this, you know, stupid argument, and then try to move on and get past the fact.
Henry, of testing, Katie Miller's contacts and associates the same day she's tested is stupid. It doesn't make any sense. There's an incubation here. And so testing them means really nothing. She is clearly in the position to have spread this if she's got enough viral load to a lot of people. And I guess the bigger question here is, since Trump's valet is responsible for his clothing, probably helps him get dressed, brings him his food, brings him his Diet Cokes, which apparently are the result of Trump pushing a red button, bring me a Diet Coke, gotta have that aspartame. So what happens here if they can't hide it? If Trump or Pence starts coughing, like Hillary has in public mention, what happens if they start hacking and showing other symptoms? If they get pink eye, what happens if they...
Well, if they're symptomatic, I mean, that would be hard to hide, unless they, you know, Trump just stays up and stays in his room and watches TV and tweets, you know, but if they make appearances, then that would be suspect. I don't think it'll be that easy to hide if they are symptomatic. But, you know, what the issue is how, where did this come from? And who is positive and who isn't positive. And, you know, I don't know the details on the Secret Service agents. You know, I read somewhere that there's 15 or there's 30 that are positive, and another two or three times that number that are in quarantine because they're contacts.
You read that there are that many positive somewhere? Yeah. You read that?
Wow. Yeah, 34 I read, yeah. So it's those are circulating. I don't know how accurate those numbers are, and how big of an area that is, you know, whether those are all assigned to Trump and Pence or whether that's just in the Secret Service in Washington and they've got other agents at other locations or other assignments. It wasn't all that specific, but it kind of gave the list of when it said, you know, his valet and Pence's, you know, media person and
Secretary,
right? And then Ivanka's Trump's assistant, and then these 34 Secret Service agents. The circle is getting wider and denser.
How long can Donald keep dodging bullets like this? I mean, that's the question.
Well, because now there's a timeline. I mean, there's two people that are fairly close that developed symptoms today or yesterday, the day before, and that if they've actually passed the virus to contacts that are somehow affiliated with either Trump or Pence, that it's going to start to be apparent because everybody's going to be looking at this, and they know that if they pass it on, then this weekend or probably the beginning of next week more, others should end up testing positive and then, no longer be showing up at the meetings or on the trips or wherever. And, questions will be raised on where so-and-so and where so-and-so. And
where's Tony Fauci? Whatever happened to Debbie Birx? Where are they? They'll be missing in the ranks here at some point.
They're in the wrong group. That's been disbanded and then, put back together, but possibly back together on paper. And, they'll meet once a week or once a month just to say that it hasn't been disbanded. But I don't expect a whole lot of appearances, although Fauci is supposed to testify before the Senate committee, not the House committee, because that's controlled by the Democrats. So that's a valid reason not to show up. In any event, it is going to become a bigger problem because, like I said, there's a timeline now that you got a couple people. They obviously had contacts with others, certainly before they developed symptoms and tested positive, and you can pass the virus along for several days prior to developing symptoms, and as you said, they probably have contacts with quite a few people, and the virus is easily transmitted. And it sounds like very, very few people wear masks and, how close they are together by off camera. They're probably real close. And
can you imagine what a mask would do to Trump's hair? The back, those bands. He has his hair done every day. People don't think about this. He doesn't do that. He's got a professional hairstylist, very carefully coiffed, combed forward, sprayed, dyed, colored. He might spend an hour and a half a day on that hair. Seriously. Now here's Trump talking about Katie Miller. I saw this earlier. I'm going to play it again. This is really good. This is Trump now basically discounting the whole concept of testing. He's questioning it.
She tested very good for a long period of time, and then all of a sudden today she tested positive. So this is why the whole concept of tests aren't necessarily great. The tests are perfect, but something could happen.
The whole concept of tests
aren't necessarily
that's what
you
said
great.
Right at the end there. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, he said that, and his press secretary has said that too, that, that there's no reason, no need to test everyone, and you don't really need to do much testing. And the whole concept of the testing is A, to be able to see who at a given facility or a given office is positive, and B, to do contact tracing so that if you do have positives, you have a reasonable chance of identifying who the contacts are and which contacts are also positive, and to make sure that those contacts, you know, are quarantined. And generally it's a home quarantine, but they basically aren't continuing to increase the spread of the virus. They kind of limit it by limit their contacts and their exposures. And not testing, you're just going blind. And there are all these sites that that have known concentrations of virus. You know, the nursing and long-term care homes, the prisons, and these processing plants. And if you're not testing, since you can transmit it when you're asymptomatic, and so they can't just look at them and see whether they're infected or not. And they can't just test those that are symptomatic because they're going to miss the ones that are asymptomatic. And some of these places have these ridiculous policies. There's a, they kind of loosened things up, today in, Pennsylvania, in Western Pennsylvania in particular. And, So Pittsburgh is in Allegheny County. So Allegheny County is going from red to yellow a week from today, as are, I think, something like 13 different counties in western Pennsylvania. And one that's glaring that isn't is adjacent to Allegheny County. It's Beaver County. And the reason they're staying red is because they have this one nursing home. And the nursing home has something like 900 people that are either employees or residents of the nursing home. And they did some testing several weeks ago or so, and it was limited testing, but the frequency was so high that they said they're assuming all 900 are infected. And they've done some additional testing, and all 900 aren't infected, but if they test and two people in the same room are tested and one's positive and one isn't, they don't do anything. They leave the positive person in the room with the negative person.
Very smart.
And so, yeah, and so they're really not doing anything to get that under control.
No, they're going to let it just roll right through, obviously. I'm going to play this Trump thing again because you made a point, and it's very important. He contradicted himself in the last sentence and a half. He ended up saying the test is perfect. And then you pointed that out, and I'm not sure everyone heard that. I'd like to play that again. Go ahead and finish up your point here. It's a good one. These nursing homes are not acting intelligently at all.
Right, and they're just and it's not just the residents, the employees are positive, and the employees mm-hmm. don't stay in the nursing home. They mm-hmm. go back to their families, and they go out and do shopping, and they do whatever, you know, maybe, you know, somewhat limited in Western Pennsylvania still, but right. it's still, you know, that they're going to go out and about, and they're going to spread the virus, and that's why the whole county is still under lockdown, and they're not coming off lockdown next Friday like all the neighboring counties are, and it's because of this one nursing home, which has, it does account for something like, I think, 90% of the deaths in the county are all affiliated with this nursing home, so it's not just they've got the virus. They are causing significant number of fatalities.
Right. Let's listen to Trump again. Right at the end, when he discounts, he tries to kind of downplay it all, and then he has to admit that it is a perfect test. It's not. The test is not perfect.
Right.
Here we go.
She tested very good for a long period of time, and then all of a sudden today she tested positive. So this is why the whole concept of tests aren't necessarily great. The tests are perfect, but something can happen.
Wow. Wow.
The test is perfect, but something can happen.
What logic? By the way, in Sweden, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's known that that particular test is the Abbott test, that you get results in 13 minutes. And mm-hmm. it's known that it has a 15% false negative rate.
15%. There you go.
And Abbott says, you know, they know that, and they're working on perfecting it, and they expect to be able to get that number down in the mm-hmm. future. But working on it today doesn't mean that they're not getting 15% false negatives today. And that's what they're relying on. They're basically, and, you know, so Trump, I was negative today, and Pence was negative today. And yeah, it doesn't matter whether you got infected or not. You'd be negative today. You were just infected a day or two ago and just got an incubation test.
Why do I think this is going to get to be much more spectacular very soon? I don't know what else to tell you.
I think it's going to be next week. It's going to be very interesting because it's still not clear who infected either of them. And whether whoever infected them has infected several others already.
They may never find out.
No, I think they will.
You do?
I think, yeah, if you only got two people, it's going to mm-hmm. be hard. But if they start getting three, four, or five, that's what the contact tracing does. They go right. and they find out who the contacts are from each of the positives, and they zero in on who might have infected them. And it mm-hmm. isn't all that hard because, you know, the incubation period is most common is going to be 4 or 5 days, and you know, well, you develop symptoms today. You know, who your contacts 4 or 5 days ago, and they go, I did X, Y, and Z, and I had this, you know, and they give them a list of the contacts, and in this case, they take the two positives and go through both of their contacts and see, you know, who they had contact with and who overlapped. And then if they get one or two or three additional ones and they all end up zeroing in on one person's in common to all three or four positives, well, then
right.
they talk to that person and find out whether they were symptomatic or whether they've been tested. And if they're close contact, they probably have been tested. And then I kind of take a look at when were they tested relative to when they had these contacts. And if they were testing them once a week, they might have just had these contacts in this window where they were negative 2 days before the contact, and they haven't been tested again since then. And then they'll go ahead and test them. And frequently the virus hangs around for a while once it gets into a high enough level where it'll transmit. And so, mm-hmm. you know, it may be as simple as saying, well, here's the contact, and we're going to do the test, and they do this quick test. They'll know in 15 minutes whether that person is positive. So I think finding the source isn't necessarily going to be that hard if there's a common source. I mean, if it turns out that these are totally independent. But like I said, usually when we're in the same place in the same time. Usually they either one's infecting the other or there's a common source. And a common source is, in this case, I would say is a definite possibility because the onset dates between the two positives is pretty close together. You know, generally if one infects the other, the one that more recently was infected is closer
so,
to 4 or 5
to
days than 1 or 2 days.
Yeah. All right. Trump's valet 2 days ago was around Trump. So he's got another 2 to 3 days The window is still open there. He can test 10 times a day negative. It doesn't mean anything. He's still within the window of incubation for transmission.
Right?
Now, and I wanted to make one other point. And you talked about the nursing homes, and we'll get back to Trump. In Sweden, the majority of fatalities in Sweden, an extraordinary amount of people who are in extended care facilities have died. That's where the majority of the numbers are coming from in Sweden. They have apparently enormous facilities, and they're crawling with virus. So that's a problem in Sweden. Otherwise, Sweden's policies of trying to develop herd immunity have been apparently, outside of these nursing facilities, very successful, according to the people who employed them, and they're standing behind them 100%. So it's a different way of going about it, and so far it looks pretty good, other than the extended care facilities. Now, back to Trump.
Well,
go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, along those lines, in the U.S., I mean, I know what they are for Pennsylvania, because I've been following that, and they're close to 50%. So close to 50% of the fatalities are linked to nursing homes in Pennsylvania anyway. And I think the number is in the same ballpark for some of these real concentrated outbreaks like New York and New Jersey, that a good percentage of those, because they both, I know they and especially Eastern Pennsylvania, but it's also in Western Pennsylvania, they do have a fair number of nursing homes, and when it goes into them, they've been short on tests. There's one here in Pittsburgh that's actually run by the county, so they actually put up an update every day, so you can follow it. And there's actually four facilities, and most of the activities in one of the four. But the numbers keep on going up. Every day there's one or two more that are positive, and every other day there's another one that's another death. So I think the last is up to 13 deaths, and it's up to 120 positives of either the residents or the employees. And most of that is concentrated in one, but they have positives in all four facilities. And when they reported on this initially, which was about probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, they acknowledged that they had a problem. And they said, but they don't have the kits, so they really can't test everybody in the facility. They just kind of test those that develop symptoms.
I see.
That's what the problem is. You know, but by the time they are positive and develop symptoms, they've already infected other people because they're infectious for several days before they develop symptoms. So just limiting it to those with symptoms is missing, you know, exactly where the virus is within the facility, or in this case, the facilities. And the numbers just keep on going up. You know, and they, you know, are making an effort to segregate out the ones they know are positive. And so it's been going up slowly, but literally, because I've been tallying it, every day they either have another person positive or another person who's died or another person who's gone in the hospital. I mean, they list all those categories, and it gets updated daily. So the testing's a problem. Even in a government-run facility, they're saying they can't get enough tests. Now, maybe it's better today than it was before, but it's not better to the extent where they list and show they've tested everybody, because between the four facilities, I think there's 700 people involved with residents and employees. And you know, they've tested somewhere around 200 of them. So there's still 300 or 400 or even 500 that haven't been tested yet. And and so the full extent in those facilities is still kind of up in the air. But that applies to all of these. I mean, Texas, I think, has 130,000 prisoners. that they have not tested. They've done one or two facilities and they find, you know, 30-40% positive rate, which would mean that, you know, they may very well have 50-75,000 people that are positive that have never been tested.
That's right. Absolutely. All right, Henry. So next week, we'll see, in all likelihood, the resolution of Donald's latest brush with coronavirus. And if he comes down positive, this is going to turn into a big show.
I anticipate a high level of White House intrigue next week. Or maybe even
very
this
well
weekend.
Said. Yeah. Very well said.
We'll see what happens.
All right.
Okay,
thanks,
well,
much.
Have a good weekend. We'll revisit this next week. Okay.
We will
care.
Indeed. All right. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Okay, there you go. It's our Friday report for you. Hope that was edifying, enlightening, and certainly amazing. I don't know what else to say. All right, we'll be back with you Monday night live, Sunday night the best of, and the network, of course, keeps broadcasting 24/7, and you can find us at Rents.com for the latest. Talk soon. Take care.